This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let
Welcome to the Voices from the Frontline segment of the 4 o'clock Public Affairs Hour on KPFK, 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara, and streaming worldwide on the web at kpfk.org. My name is Damon Azali. I'm here with my co-host, Eric Mann. For our first segment today, we'll be joined by Lauro Pulido, who is the Associate Professor of Geography and American Studies and Ethnicity at the University of Southern California. She joins us to discuss her new book, Black, Brown, Yellow, and Left, Radical Activism in Los Angeles. And for our second segment, we will be joined by Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee of the 18th Congressional District of Houston, Texas. Congresswoman Jackson Lee will be discussing her thoughts and proposals for immigration reform, as well as the aftermath of Katrina. But first, we will have a commentary on the immigrant rights movement by our very own Eric Mann.
Hi, everybody. Look forward to supporting the May 1st walkout general strike protests on May 1st of the immigrant rights movement. What I want to talk about a little today is what we call questions of political line inside the movement. Political line, at its worst, is sort of a series of just abstract debates about where the movement should go. At its best, it's a series of abstract debates about where the movement should go, translated into concrete proposals about where the movement should go. The first thing that's wonderful is we have a movement to talk about, and enormous props to the many organizations that led the miracle of the 500,000 to 1 million person march in Los Angeles alone of Latinos, Mexicanos, people of all races, but mainly Latinos, fighting for their own self-determination. As movements develop, what's really interesting is how quickly you have to develop your politics on a variety of different subjects. What's your opinion, your position, and the debates begin. Without a movement, it's hard to take the debates that seriously, but right now a lot are being forced right on the front burner. Let's start with the issue of Mexican flag, American flag. I marched in the 1994 anti-187 march, and I was very thrilled to see the number of immigrants and supporters carrying the Mexican flag. The Mexican flag is, one, is a question of national pride and identity, but secondly, it opens up the issue of that we are presently in the northern part of Mexico that was stolen from Mexico through U.S. conquest in 1848, which is why not just white America, but unfortunately many Latino establishment politicians want to suppress that flag, quickly say, put that flag down, wave the American flag. Because America is a very complicated and complex country. It's against all social movements and will kill you first and co-opt you second. So the labor movement, down with the labor movement, kill the unions, but if not, get rid of the communists, get rid of the left, and join the American dream. Black people, slaves for 347 years, Jim Crow for another 100, but finally, when the pressure was too great, the issue became, quote, integration. Let's integrate black people into the American system, and we now have both tremendous democratic rights, but we also, the key to integration in their mind, is that Colin Powell and Condoleezza Rice would support the aggressive war in Iraq. So Muhammad Ali says, I don't support integration. I will not go to Vietnam. And that's the kind of freedom that the United States doesn't want to grant. So right now the immigrant rights movement is facing not just a dilemma, but a set of complicated choices for the first time. People are taking them very seriously. And it's not just those in Washington who are cutting their deals. There are real movements here that have to face questions. So the first, as I said, is the Mexican flag versus the American flag. My intervention is I totally support the Mexican flag as critical to the fact that the United States was based on forced annexation. I support black flags. I support self-determination of black people in the South. I think it's really important to understand that it's not one nation indivisible, but the future of this country is when it breaks up into many of its constituent parts, and we can think about re-putting it together in a more constructive, even socialist manner. The second is the issue of the American dream. Well, the American dream is pretty complicated. I mean, immigrants have come here and made, quote, a better life for themselves. The issue of remittances, which is discussed in the LA Times in great detail, is a real issue. It is rather strange to be making $7, $8, $9 an hour, working an unbearable job, having 10 people in an apartment, and then sending money home to your family in an oppressed nation where that money, based on the U.S. exchange rate and other things, allows them to purchase things that they couldn't buy within their own economy. Now, unless you add that the United States has dominated that third world economy, created the poverty, overthrown left experiments, prevented self-determination, penetrated through open borders, U.S. capital intervening there, if that whole master narrative is not told, then, yeah, there's an American dream here. And then immigrants and black people and all people of color have every right to fight for it. But how ironic that the very country that imposes racism on the world gets credit when people fight their way up, so-called, by their bootstraps. So the question of the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo in 1848, the reopening of the Mexican-American story is a critical element to this movement. The next is the sort of what I call hard worker ideology versus anti-Iraq. Some of the immigrant rights groups that are very trying desperately to, you know, win marginal victories for their people, and I mean immigrant rights groups that are mainly lobbyists who don't have a base, are trying to now pose the new concept of the Latino as the hard worker. Some of the most ugly racist stories have been on the radio for the people supporting this bill, which we'll get to about the bills, saying things like, well, these are jobs Americans wouldn't want. These are jobs that you know you wouldn't do. Our economy needs Latinos and Mexicans and immigrants of all races to come in and pick the cotton and pick the sugar and clean our houses. And, you know, so the concept is that the reason we support immigration, according to this right-wing argument, is because the low-wage economy depends on immigrant labor. And then you have the flip side, which is the immigrant rights groups, or I always say the immigrant advocacy groups, saying, you're right, you're right, you're right, that's what we need to be there, instead of saying, if you bring us in and legalize us, we plan to ally with the blacks, ally with the Asians, ally with the poor whites, build a union, and get nobody having low-wage jobs. Let's all get high-wage jobs, at which point the system would say, hey, wait a minute, then I don't want any immigration. So basically, one way that the system operates is you either play on its ideological terms, or we're going to really attack you. Then the next debate is over the mutual benefits or differences between the Stenson-Brenner bill and the Kennedy-McCain bill. Speaking for myself, I think that progressives inside the immigrant rights movement should oppose both bills and should urge a no vote, even if one passes. But to give the Kennedy-McCain bill any moral legitimacy of this amazing movement on the streets, I think would be a big mistake. Number one, it's obvious. It sets up three categories of immigrant. It rates you by how many years you've been in here. It's the classic, instead of a two-tiered wage system, it's a three-tiered immigrant system playing one group against the other. Next, imagine paying a fine. Hey, you're an immigrant. You got in here. You somehow managed to get over the border, which shouldn't have been closed in the first place. You're working very hard. I have an idea. I'm going to show up at the Office of Homeland Security, give you $2,000, and register, and start a 12-step program to eventually become this wonderful American citizen. Uh-huh. No, I don't think so. This is called, other way, put your head in this noose, but we promise we ain't going to pull on it unless you make a few mistakes. So I would urge, on the simple level, how can people in good conscience be urging people to register with the police state knowing what it's doing right now. So for all those reasons, I don't think, you see, if you want $12 an hour and the boss offers you $10, you take the compromise, or it's a totally legitimate right to do that. But a progressive movement does not give away the rights of its own people, does not give the rights away of other people. And finally, the issue of the march on the 1st of May and the general strike. My opinion is, I certainly, Manuel Criollo and I had a long talk about this, who are we in a privileged position? We are not in a position, I am not in a position, to urge people, undocumented workers, to say, go out on strike on May 1st. This is what you should do. But I'm certainly in a position to support those who choose to make that choice. And that's a different story. Everybody understands their own risk. Large numbers of undocumented workers are exercising the self-determination to choose that this is the best tactic. And once again, the Latino immigrant establishment is doing this. You're hurting your own cause. The Panthers hurt their own cause. SNCC hurt their own cause. CORE hurt their own cause. The sit-ins hurt their own cause. Coming out against the war in Vietnam, Dr. King, hurt your own cause. Who are these people who have never helped our own cause, who don't even know how to pass anything, who have no authority in Washington, are treated like, in a trivial manner by the Democratic Party establishment, are covering up for the Democratic Party establishment, pushing the McCain-Kennedy bill? Why couldn't they simply say, which King did when the rebellions took place, hey, look, that's not my tactic, but who am I to stop other people who have reached the end of their rope? So I think that when Archbishop Mahoney or Cardinal Mahoney comes out against the walkouts and other people come out against it, I think that's wrong. I think you should simply say, I support people's right to protest. I support people's right, and they will make the appropriate choices for themselves. So enormous props to the young students who have gone out. Enormous props to the immigrants who have risked tremendous, more than we can understand, to fight for their own rights. Amnesty for the students. Amnesty for the immigrants. And let's all come out on March 1st, May 1st, picking whatever tactic we think is necessary to win the battle.
Thank you, Eric, and we'll be right back with Laura Pulido.